Classic Business with Michael Avery on FMR.
Warren Buffett, the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, the oracle of Omaha, has often said that digital transformation is a fundamental reality for business today. Now, I cannot stress the importance of digital transformation enough. Every company, SME, large corporate, needs to accelerate and innovate given the pace and the scale of change. And I think often what happens is businesses lose sight of the bigger picture, business owners, and they miss golden opportunities because they lose track of time and thought and they're so busy with everything else. So every Tuesday, we aim to curate the best and most relevant digital transformation discussions for you to consider. And it's a great pleasure to welcome as my first guest in this new weekly Digital Natives feature, Johan Steyn. He's rated as one of the top 50 global voices on AI by Swiss Cognitive. He's a professor. Professor Johan Steyn on the faculty of Wakson University and a research fellow with Stellenbosch University and the founder of AIforBusiness.net. Johan, welcome. And you and I must add, have been talking about AI on Business Day TV for ages now. It certainly feels like for ages because we've spoken to so many interesting people. But I want to start off just talking about this issue of digital transformation. And there's a great quote here that I want to share from Jeff Bezos of Amazon. He says, in today's era of volatility, there is no other way but to reinvent. The only sustainable advantage you can have over your competitors is agility. And that's it, because everything else is replicatable in today's world. Now, it's actually a profound statement, and I think a change in the way we do business and think about business models. Do the business leaders that you talk to on a daily basis understand this fundamentally?
Michael, lovely to be here. Thank you. The answer is absolutely no. They don't understand it because they approach it as a tech-driven initiative. Digital transformation is not about digital. It's about transformation. It's about the way we work, the way we think, the way we innovate, the way we attract new talent. And unfortunately, a lot of business leaders, although they are very smart and accomplished people, are still stuck in a command and control way of managing their organizations. And technology and the young talent that's coming up the ranks is really turning that upside down. The challenge is, how do you maintain your business goals and your income and all those things while transforming at the same time? It's a lot more about culture and leadership style than about technology. But I see a lot of business leaders really, really still do not understand this.
Yeah, still stuck in that old mindset. And we've interviewed some really bright, young, talented South Africans who are working on the most cutting-edge technology. And the thing is, you know what really struck me about these conversations, Johan, is they don't want to work inside those corporates who are still doing it the way they've always done it. They're doing their own thing in startups that are agile and nimble and ultimately are going to go and eat the incumbent's lunch unless they start changing the way they think about these things.
Yeah, it's so true. Look, I think it's on one hand a generational thing. Younger people, they don't want to follow in the footsteps of their fathers or their elders, if you would. They don't feel safe in these structures that we've created in corporations where a lot of us or maybe our older parents have felt safe in. They are very innovative. They're very entrepreneurial. They don't want any control. And it is, I think, a big challenge for big corporates because a lot of their future, well, current and future talent lies in that generation. But it's almost like a lot of us are too old and too set in our ways to even try and bring in these young people, these cowboys, these people who will upset the apple cart. Finding that balance, I think, is a challenge that most large corporates are struggling with at the moment.
And I think they're struggling with as well, beyond just acquiring the talent, is also getting a handle on where technology is going. And I think artificial intelligence is a great example here, because we've seen this debate over a robot's ability to have human-like feelings. It was reignited recently when a Google engineer claimed that one of the company's chatbots was sentient. I think it was called Lambda, the language model for dialogue applications. What was your initial reaction to all of this, given what you know and understand about AI?
Like, my initial reaction was, this is somebody just looking for attention. Somebody who wants to make a mark and want to be on a Netflix documentary one day. However, when I looked at his interviews on YouTube, on different news channels, this is not a stupid man. And he explains it beautifully well. I do not think that there's sentience in AI, and I'll explain that now. My interpretation and perception is not that this is somebody who tried to just cause a stir and get attention for whatever book deal and so forth. What I do like is that he opened up a can of worms for a conversation we need to have. And it's about, where is this technology going? How human-like is it? How human-like will it become? Is it conscious? And consciousness is a massive conversation. So when we play chess against an AI or Go and it wins, and it always will win because it's so smart, does it know it's winning? Does it celebrate that it's winning? Does it feel fulfilled? No, because it's computer code. It's not sentient and aware and conscious like we are. Will we get there in time? I think so. Maybe many, many years from now. But at least that Google engineer, my view is, I think it was honest. I think he was wrong about the sentience, but I think he initiated a conversation we absolutely have to have at this stage.
And it's such an interesting point, you know, the difference. What is the difference between sentience and consciousness, this ability to have feelings and perceptions of the world versus a higher order awareness, and the ability to think and use reason and solve problems? And I certainly, it looks like AI is developing so rapidly that at a certain level, you might argue that it can use reason, machine learning to solve ever more complex problems. Is it sentient? I certainly don't think so at this stage. Will it ever be sentient? I think is a critical question to understand. Which direction do you see this heading in?
Michael, I think it will become sentient. I think it's the most powerful technology we've ever created. Like in 50 or so thousand years ago, depending on how you view history, when human sapiens triumphed over Neanderthals, are we creating another entity, another post-Homo sapien entity? If we think of 3D printed body parts, brain-computer interface, I think even the whole nature of what it means to be Homo sapien is changing over the next few years, and that's where Noval Harari and Nick Bostrom and others are great writers to follow. I think consciousness and sentience is based on the awareness of death. And here I often refer to a great author that I followed, who wrote The Denial of Death, Ernest Becker, who really transformed the world of psychology and psychoanalysis. We are the only primates, if you want to call it that, that's aware, as far as we know, of our impending end. Once AI is aware that it will end or may end, that we can switch it off, what will it do then? Will it, like we, go to a fight or flight instinct? And what will happen then? I think we're going that way. I don't know when that's going to happen, Michael.
And that raises all manner of interesting questions. You know, will AI have its own rights, equal to humans, if that's where potentially we're going? Should we treat AI with that similar respect? Will humans go to jail if you kill an AI, for example? But I think right now, to bring it into the here and now for businesses, you know, AI, artificial intelligence, is happening. There are AI startups in South Africa doing incredible things. How do you, as a business leader, think about the sort of strategy you need to be embracing before adopting an AI or even a machine learning strategy? What are the sorts of questions that business leaders need to be asking themselves before implementing these strategies?
Yeah, that's an imperatively important question, because one of the main reasons in my experience, Michael, why these initiatives fail, because it's a tech first or a tech only initiative, or initiative only by the technology department. The fundamental construct and design of your business and how you work together, how you internally operate, how you interact with your customers, will evolve and change sometimes quite rapidly as you implement this technology. So it has a lot more to do with these so-called softer issues around change management, people understanding their roles. Do you even have enough skills in your current staff complement to get them to the next step of AI and digital transformation? How will it impact issues like labor unions and unemployment and automation of tasks that humans are doing at the moment? And it sounds so simple. I often tell my clients, automate the right things in the right way and for the right reasons. You can't automate a toxic culture, can't automate people who don't understand their jobs, can't automate human experience. There's things that we as people can do that for the foreseeable future cannot be AI'd or automated. Intuition, problem solving, and the like. So I tell my customers, take a breath, step back, just think about this logically, because AI might not be the answer to your current problem. And don't just follow the advice of management consultants and big consulting firms. Think about it logically and imagine where it's going to take your organization in the future. That's really, I think, the advice I would give to business leaders.
Yeah, rather than chasing the next big shiny thing and and then ending up with a hugely expensive investment without really understanding how that investment will be recovered over time and the impact through the organization culturally as well. Well, that's where we're going to have to end it. That's Digital Natives for this week. Thank you very much to Jan Steyn, rated as one of the top 50 global voices on AI by Swiss Cognitive, here on the all-new Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery on FMR.